I mean, I think right now if you went out into the streets and kicked a toddler in the face, they'd be like, that guy's just saying what's on his mind.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've always wanted to kick a toddler in the face. This is PC bullshit.
Yeah.
I've been keeping my foot in this sock and this shoe, not kicking toddlers. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Welcome to 2018, everybody.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah.
Phew, we made it.
Yeah, Happy New Year. So I want to kick off with what's coming up in 2018.
Okay.
And this is news on food. Food fads.
I like that. Start off on a positive note.
So this is from the Global Group, and they're giving predictions for what the food fads are going to be this year. Much like fashion, the colors and all that kind of stuff, the food fads are figured out like 6 months to a year in advance.
Right.
And then everyone in the industry has to get on board with it. And then those of us who eat, the plebs,
are at the mercy, at the mercy of what our overlords decide for us.
So this is what you're going to be eating this year, or the experiences you're going to be having. There's a move towards something called root to leaf.
Root to leaf, come on.
It's just using every part. It's a Native American song. Using every part of
The
item.
Okay.
Root to leaf. But they always have to come up with some kind of, term for it. Increased focus on the way that food waste can be limited. We just started in our building food composting. It's amazing. We have, no garbage now.
Really?
I had no idea how much food waste we were throwing away. And
really?
We have some. Yeah. It was amazing. So in 2018, you're going to see a number of dishes.
I don't throw food away.
You don't make as much food as I do, though.
Yeah.
Like when you're making a lot of stuff from scratch, especially vegetable stuff, eat the stalks.
Right.
I just can't. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could, but I can't. So you're going to see a lot of restaurants using all of the food.
So it looks like you're going to be learning.
Yeah.
Then
you're going to be learning about stuff. You're probably going to be getting a lot of stuff that you're like, did he just saute some friggin' stalks for $20? Like that's what's going to happen too. You're going to see leaves that you've never seen before. There's also the rise of the local. I think this has been going on for a long time. We're lucky because in our area, New Jersey and New York have a lot of farms.
Okay.
Long Island too. And we have a lot of produce around this. So I guess we're going to be just using more local produce, which is fun. All day breakfast is going to be a thing in a lot of restaurants.
Okay.
I like that.
That's a great idea.
I think breakfast is one of the best American meals. I'm not a huge American food person, but when I do travel, I miss our breakfasts.
Yeah.
They're good. And a lot of places now offer them. You can go a lot of places and get a fried egg or waffles. American breakfast is good.
That's good. And it's going to be a good, cheap alternative.
Yes.
They better not ratchet up the price. Oh, it's after three. Breakfast is now $20.
But the eggs are more after three?
Yeah. You know how they do.
They have to come up with something.
Yeah.
Or there'll be restaurants that are we only serve breakfast.
Yeah.
We call that a diner, basically. Yeah. You can do all the time. Right. So during the first meal of the day, we'll lead to more restaurants offering it. Breakfast-inspired menus, that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast-inspired means that they're going to charge you a lot of money for that egg.
Yeah.
For the Taylor ham sandwich.
Oh, my
God. They're going to cut it, lengthwise and, lay it open.
Yeah.
So you can see how it goes. Be an open-faced Taylor ham.
Open-faced Taylor ham. Put it together yourself.
Yeah, put it together yourself. And there's going to be all-day brunches, yum, and artisanal breakfast for people who are health conscious. Also, a big trend is going to be Korean food. Just Korean food in general. I love Korean food. I don't know how it's going to filter into, the rest of the country, though. It's very specific. And
You have to, if you go to a real Korean restaurant, you really need somebody who knows the food.
And generally,
cuisine.
In New York,
they have to teach you how to eat it, because all these bowls show up.
They will show you, though, which I like. I've never been to a Korean restaurant where they haven't been look, we know you're clearly not Korean. Would you like us to help you?
Yeah.
And the demonstrations are usually pretty good. So they're going to say Korean stuff is going to be more mainstream. So they have kimchi and then a lot of American stuff, I guess, reinvented with a Korean-inspired twist. I don't really have a good enough sense of Korean food other than kimchi to know how to make something partially Korean. I have no idea. Hybrid food. This is like the cronut.
The cronut, right.
Things like that.
Okay.
Also something called
waffagato.
It's an ice cream waffle soaked in espresso.
Okay.
I have no concept of how that might work.
I don't know either.
Ice cream waffle soaked. What's an ice cream waffle?
An ice cream waffle.
Like the cone?
The waffle itself with a scoop of ice cream on it.
Soaked in espresso?
Yeah, so the waffle is soaked in espresso, so that's the flavor of the waffle.
And then they put a scoop of ice cream on top. Okay, so a coffee-flavored waffle with ice cream on it.
Yeah.
And they said they're going to have hybrid fruits and vegetables. I don't know. Frankenfoods, fine, whatever.
I would like to see a hamburger with a hot dog right down the middle.
Really?
It'll be like a giant, it'd be a giant-sized patty, you know, but it has the hot dog. So you can have both.
What if... And if you're doing Atkins, it's just you just take a hamburger and wrap it around a hot dog. No bun.
Right.
No bun. Can you have cheese on that? Is that Atkins? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Plant-based dining. Mm. Why don't they just say, like, vegetarian?
Yeah.
Plant-based dining. I don't need to explain
what
that
because is. Some people will look at vegetarianism as like, oh, you're so freaky. But plant-based is more like, okay.
Plant-based doesn't even sound... It sounds scientific to me.
That's...
Don't say you right. Think, oh, people like that.
Yeah.
I'm not a hippie. It's like, really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because vegetarian is like, it implies a whole lifestyle. It implies all kinds of things.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm vegetarian. I know. Adhering? I don't think I'm a good vegetarian. Then I'm not doing the lifestyle.
No, I'm talking about the negative connotations of being, that other people have. Not me.
Yeah, yeah. That's weird. I thought people were getting over that. All right, yeah. But plant-based, for those of you who don't want to do vegetarian. The sober scene. An increased...
I don't know about this.
increased interest in improving our health, not mine, yours, and technology, changing the way we socialize, has meant that a growing number of people, particularly those aged 16 to 24, are shunning alcohol together. Oh my God, they are so... I heard they're not having sex either.
No, the young kids are not having sex or drinking.
They just sit in their rooms and they are on their phones. That's what I've been hearing from parents, and that's what I've been reading articles about.
So how old is this range?
From 16 to 24. So these kids have grown up with a phone in their hands.
Right.
With a tablet in their hands.
So at this date, in 2018, 16 to 24-year-olds are not really having sex or drinking.
Or drinking or going out.
Texting. And not even talking.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the ones who do go out, apparently, don't want to drink. And drink brands have had to up their game, and they do mocktails. Which, by the way, it sounds like a great idea, but if it's a lot of fruit, it's incredibly high in calories, and you need to actually watch it. Remember Jamba Juice? I don't know if they're around anymore. They were selling those, like, 16-ounce. Those things were, like, 800 calories.
Right. Everyone thought they were healthy. I'm drinking this.
Because it's fruit. Have you ever been to, well, probably your grandmother had this, like, a juice glass? Do you remember how small those are?
Right.
That's how much juice, apparently, you should drink.
Right.
It's like a double-sized shot glass.
They have that at, like, if you stay at those, like, the low-end hotels that have the continental breakfast.
Yes, the tiny juice glass.
They have tiny juice glasses, and I go, like, $3. And that's the only time I drink juice, actually, is one of those places. For some reason, I have to push a button to have
the orange juice come out, yeah.
I don't know why, but that's... I never drink orange
juice. It's on offer. It's like a buffet or an open bar. You got to do it.
Yeah.
Whatever's there, it's free. You got to do it. Plus, you're already staying in a crabby hotel. You might as well get something.
Yeah.
You know,
like, a shot of sugar in there.
To make your own waffle. It's like, come on. So they have mocktails, and then they're having wines and beers with no alcohol in them. I don't know. And then there's alcohol-free spirits. There's something called seed lip. This sounds like a disease.
Yeah.
Seed lip is on the sober scene.
A seed lip?
Seed lip. It's one word. Seed lip. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Good luck. Maybe that's the... Now that we're older, I should be complaining about how the young people are going crazy.
Yeah.
Not how they're boring AF. You know?
Right. Isn't it something? It's like, who's going to...
It's electronics. It's got to be electronics.
How are people going to reproduce?
I don't know. Maybe, and I can imagine parents, too, because their parents are probably our age, a little bit older, like, oh, no, it's great. I know where my kid is all the time. And they're safe.
Yeah, they're not getting, like... molested or raped by every other man in the, you know,
in Congress.
In Congress, right.
Even though it could, like, every generation lives in a safer environment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. I think people are at the point now where I think these kids are just sitting around all day inside. That's what I hear. That's what I hear from people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know if you try, when you try to take electronics away from kids now, they like roll on the floor like you would not believe.
Really?
Like, it's sad. If you try to take away,
to
they don't know what to do. You try to take away their phone. I see them sitting in a room together. each person on a different electronic device, mm-hmm. not doing anything. I'm like, don't you even want to, like, punch each other or something? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, stuff you do with your kid. Yeah, like, don't you want to make fun of each other? Or, like, no, you just are all staring at a screen.
And you're in the room
and doing your thing. I even was watching some kids play a video game where it was on a big screen. They each had their own mini screen on the big screen. So they weren't even interacting necessarily in the game together.
You know, we used to do...
It's weird.
It is weird. Like, we'd get together and we'd listen to the new record that came out all together.
Thriller or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever was out there. Def Leppard.
Yep.
But together.
Together.
And we would do a lot of social activities. We had, someone always had a basement. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how you...
And we drink.
Yeah. Like, try to, like, you know, grab something.
Yeah.
And, like, because it's the lead up to when you get to, you know, adulthood.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't doing anything raucous or crazy, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, so, whatever. 16 to 24, like, come on, man. But at 16, I was in the bar. I gotta be honest with you.
Fake ID.
Fake IDs. Trying to get in there. Bartender
right in the eye.
Because we wanted to see
what... Boilermaker.
We wanted to see what adults are doing.
Right.
Right? Because we're going to be doing that sooner or later. I don't know what they're seeing or what they're going to do later. I don't just go work for Google, I guess. I don't know.
And they're all living at home.
Of course.
They're living with their parents.
Because at home there's unlimited internet. So the last food trend is striking colors in food. Mm-hmm. So very vibrantly colored food. It says maybe it's because of platform sharing on Instagram or whatever, but there's going to be blue algae lattes.
No.
Oh, I know. Matcha green buns or black breads. Interesting use of natural ingredients has led to an emerging trend of unusually colored dishes. Not only does it look pretty, but it's backed by research that color can be associated with taste. What color? What is the taste of blue algae? Is it raspberry?
I don't think so.
What color is it? Or what taste is it? Blue algae. In any case.
Blue algae. I would admit, if I heard algae, I'd think fishy taste.
Yeah, I would too. Something salty, right? Anyway, so those are the food trends for this year.
Nice. Sorry, that sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. Thank you for reporting so we know what...
Reporting. I'm out there on the streets eating food, so you don't have to.
Well, psychic prediction.
Oh, awesome. Okay, for this year.
Yes. This is brought to you by the psychic who predicted that Trump would win.
Oh, yeah. He's calling himself, or is it she?
I don't know.
That person is calling himself the new Nostradamus.
Oh, yes. Craig Hamilton Parker.
Okay. I assume it's a guy.
Yeah, I would imagine too. All right, so the new Nostradamus, he calls himself.
That's what he's putting it out there. Someone is his flack is.
I wouldn't associate myself with Nostradamus because if you read those predictions, they're so vague.
Yeah, they're really, really vague.
They're vague and they don't make sense.
Evil leadership will rise up in several powerful nations.
Yes,
causing a war.
Yes, fire from the sky will come down.
Yeah.
And people will scream in horror.
And Nostradamus has been predicting World War III since forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's still at it.
Since World War II.
Okay, so these are the reveals for 2018, supposedly. Yeah,
the reveals. When you pull back the curtain of 2018, here's what you see.
Let's see. He says that a revolution in North Korea will bring down Kim Jong-un's regime.
Okay.
There would be a terrorist incident on a British motorway, a chemical weapons attack by drones on a European capital.
Okay.
And Prince Harry is getting engaged.
That last one, I don't care. Which one is that?
Yeah.
Isn't he already married to the world's oldest princess or whatever?
Yeah. Harry is not. No, that's William.
It doesn't matter to me.
William is the older one. That's the Baldwin. The son of Charles. Okay. Harry is the son of the tennis instructor.
Oh, that's right. He's the good-looking one.
Yeah. With the personality.
Yeah.
And likes a good time.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because he likes a good time girl.
Mm-hmm. And he's not the one that dressed up as Hitler. That's the other
one,
right? Oh, he is?
Yeah, but
What is wrong with those people?
He is so out of touch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how can he be in touch, though?
Exactly.
You know? But being illegitimate he's in a very long line of, like, you know, that's how that happens in royal families. Yeah. There's always a bastard.
Yeah.
It's insurance.
Yes. Other environmental predictions are Mount Vesuvius in Italy will erupt and Naples will be evacuated.
Wow. Is that... I didn't know that volcano was still active.
Yeah, well, it will be.
I guess it's going to pipe right up.
There will be an increase in seismic activity.
Mm-hmm.
Just... all over, even in places that were tremor-free. Wow. Shaking.
Yeah, there have been a couple of earthquakes in Costa Rica over the past couple of months, but it seems that though people are savvy enough there not to build significant things near those fault lines.
That's good.
You know? Because that makes sense, right?
There will be record hurricanes in the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
which is...
Good luck on that, because we've already had some monster hurricanes.
The southern seas will be impassable in places due to a massive ice shelf breaking from the Antarctic.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Why are you so interested?
Because, you know, I love Arctic stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like, when, you know, the ice, gigantic ice shelf is like, hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, like stuff's happening. Yeah. It's like a little note.
Yeah.
It's like a little instant messenger from the Earth being like, guess what?
This is happening.
Yeah, this is happening. Like when that iceberg showed up in Newfoundland.
Yeah.
And people were like, hmm.
this thing comes floating yeah. down. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. This is kind of odd.
Okay.
Because it wasn't there the night before. That's the scary thing. Yeah. So when they went to bed, there was no gigantic iceberg. When they woke up in the morning, it's like, I would have been scared out of my mind. But I looked out the window and saw
suddenly
that.
Suddenly you saw an iceberg.
Yeah. yeah. And there'd never been one there before.
right.
It would be like if you looked out your window in Hoboken, there was a gigantic boulder.
Yeah, I know.
like 20 stories high.
It just came.
Yeah, what up. Would you do?
I'd be walking around talking to people, asking questions, getting to the bottom of it.
Getting to the bottom of that rock?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope I get a text from you. I'd be like, man, she's tripping. What? gigantic boulder.
Gigantic boulder. World conflict and terror predictions. Let's see.
There'll be more of it.
Yes. A world flu epidemic possibly linked to biological warfare started by North Korea.
I hate to say this, but... From what I know of epidemics, if it's been 100 years since your last big one, there it's due.
Yeah, it's due.
That seems to be what happens. I know there's been some bubonic plague out there.
Really?
Black Death, yeah, in Madagascar. Apparently, they have it every year, and I'm like, why aren't you telling everybody that? And why the hell is anybody going there?
Mm.
The last time it happened, I read an article. It was so biased. It was obviously written by upper class people. They're like, usually it's just among the lower classes. But now it's gotten to the managerial classes. I'm like, do you think Black Death cares about what your job is?
Yeah.
Dude, get out of there. In any case.
Let's see. A chemical weapon attack on a school will be thwarted at the last minute.
So we won't hear about it.
Right. Japan will pay to hire American Missile Defense Services.
Okay.
So what?
With what?
Yeah.
Do we charge people for that? I think usually we just show up with guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then we seize what we want.
Economic predictions. An Italian bank crisis will cause chaos and many will lose their homes.
Actually, I mean, it's a prediction, but I think if you talk to a lot of financial people, they might also have that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably just something that's, you know,
now,
in progress.
So this guy... Just listening to all his predictions, they're all kind of skewed, you know, in the way that other countries are doing stuff.
Yeah, what are we doing?
And an attempt to impeach Donald Trump will fail, and he will become more popular as a result. This is somebody who likes Trump.
I don't know. I think when he was predicting Trump the first time, it wasn't in a positive way.
Yeah.
But I think that as crazy as people are right now, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think right now if you went out into the streets and kicked a toddler in the face... Yeah. They'd be like, that guy's just saying what's on his mind.
Yeah,
exactly. I've always wanted to kick a toddler in the face. This is PC bullshit.
Yeah.
I've been keeping my foot in this sock and this shoe, not kicking toddlers.
The Mexico border wall will not be built, but instead consist of drones and sensors.
Okay, that we already have that, though, right?
The dollar will take a tumble in February, but will recover.
I have never seen the wall, but from what I understand, it just stops abruptly in places and is ridiculous. It would be like if you built a part of an apartment wall and were like, just don't come around the corner.
Yeah. This is my favorite one, and I hope it comes true. Okay. Out of all of them, this is the one.
Is this somebody snatches Trump's wig?
Melania Trump and her husband's grandchildren will release a song to help raise funds for charity.
Is this song going to be, help us? Help us.
No, we don't know what charity. And her husband's grandchildren, not hers.
Her husband's grandchildren. Who are they? Oh,
you know what I mean. Like, yeah. if he's the grandfather and they're married, then she's the grandmother.
Wow.
And those are her grandchildren, but her husband.
Do you think any of those kids are actually his?
Oh,
he seems like he might be one of those guys who just doesn't have lead in the pencil, but is still, you know, forcing these women to somehow pop out kids.
And they're like scrambling, trying to get some.
Yeah, because do any of them look like him? I don't know. I can't look at them really for too long.
I can't stand it. After seeing the one, who was it? The one model, the outdoor clothes on the rock. He did some kind of photo shoot. He wasn't really modeling for anything but himself.
Ooh, and it was a glamour shot in nature.
It was the funniest. It was he was sitting on a rock in the woods wearing jeans and work boots and a flannel shirt and kind of like looking.
He's never had a job. Like, it's just like, are you kidding me? He's like, this is what the working class wear.
Yeah.
When they're out. Did he have like the hand under the chin?
Yes. Oh, he did. Yeah.
Why are they so tacky? Can't they read a book on how to be a tacky piece of shit? I mean, look at the rest of us. I'm low class. Okay, I try. You know, like, I make an effort.
We all try. We're all low class, and yes, we all try.
Some people don't try.
We're really trying to step out of the muck.
Yes.
You know, we just make
an effort. Not these people. They're like, I'm just going to roll in it. And then I'm going to roll in leaves. Yeah. So, since we're talking about New Year, New You, I just, you know, one of my favorite people on earth is Liam Neeson.
Yes.
And he's got some great new stuff going on. So, this is a New Year, New Neeson. New Year, New Neeson. I don't think it's going to be a segment, but hey, who knows?
It has a lot. It's very catchy.
Yeah. So he's got a new movie coming out January 12th, a nationwide release. So probably usually in New York, it'll come out a couple days before. Mm-hmm. I want to see this one. It's called The Commuter. Have you seen the ads? Starring Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, Sam Neill. Sam Neill's.
Yeah. Okay.
Elizabeth McGovern and Jonathan Banks. And of course, Liam Neeson. The storyline, in this action-packed thriller, Liam Neeson plays an insurance salesman. Well, that's thrilling already. And I've seen the review, not the reviews for it, the previews. Mm-hmm. He's on the Metro North. That's his commuting from, like, Westchester into the city. So yeah, I guess he didn't want to go too far to shoot this thing. He plays this guy named Michael on his daily commute home, quickly becomes anything but routine after being contacted by a mysterious stranger. Michael is forced to uncover the identity of a hidden passenger on his train before the last stop. I love these kind of movies because there's no BS. Mm-hmm. He has from Grand Central Station to wherever he's going, Katona, wherever, to finish the movie. That's how long he has.
And for those of us that know the ride, we know how much time
it is. We know how much time it is. As he works against the clock to solve the puzzle, he realizes a deadly plan is unfolding and is unwittingly caught up in a criminal conspiracy, one that carries life and death stakes for him and his fellow passengers.
By the way, for people all around the U.S. who aren't familiar with this line, it's more like anyone commuting from New York, it's like an hour.
Yeah.
If you're working in New York and you live in the outer line.
And you're doing Metro North, it's like an hour.
An hour, maybe an hour.
Maybe an hour and a half. Depends on how far you're going.
And what kind of job you have. Is it worth it to you to drive for an hour and a half?
To do the commute.
Yeah.
But it's not a fancy train.
Yeah.
It's a little bit bigger than the subway car. So all the action.
It's not a subway.
It's not a subway.
You sit, and there's two seats on each side, and you sit.
It's between. It's more like an Amtrak.
Yes, yes.
But it's all this is going to take place on the train. And I love movies that are in enclosed space because I think that forces both the actors and the director to be really, like, creative
with
how they do it.
That is a thing. That's what we learned in our writing classes, everyone, that when you're writing something on a budget, you write in one location.
One location.
One location, so it's not very costly. You put all your money into the big name star.
Yeah. So that's what this movie is. It looks like it looks really good. I love Liam Neeson, so I'm definitely going to check it out. He also has, this is a Norwegian remake. It's coming out in the fall. It's called Hard Powder. He plays, I guess, a snowplow driver.
Hard Powder.
If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Mmm, box of wine.
He plays a snowplow driver who doesn't get worked up about much until his son is murdered, because you know it's Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
And it's made to look like an overdose by criminals involved in drug dealing. Now, he turns then from a mild-mannered guy to doing body removal as the bad guys pile up like snowdrifts when the killers suspect a rival gang. So Liam Neeson's son is killed by drug dealers. He then proceeds to kill all the drug dealers, and he's doing it in such a badass way that they think they're being attacked by a whole gang. It's just Liam Neeson.
Mm-hmm. Well, what, would you expect anything less from him?
Yes, Liam Neeson doesn't do ensemble.
Yeah.
Okay. another piece he has coming up, doesn't say when, it's called The Virgin of Las Vegas. It's in development. Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't play the Virgin.
I hope not.
In Ireland, show bands became popular across the country before the onslaught of TV. I think onslaught's a weird thing to say. So this is about an aging show band singer who's prone to drink and living in Vegas. He finds his life turned on its head after the arrival of a mysterious stranger.
Mm.
I like it. It's Liam Neeson in Las Vegas.
I like
just
that,
being
too.
Neeson. The other things he has coming up are... Highwaymen. In talks, so I couldn't find any information. Gang Story, not even the title, it's just a gang story. Something called The Revenger. That sounds like something we made up. It's a romantic comedy. I know. Ooh. The Trainer, Marlowe, about Philip Marlowe, and then something called Retribution. I'm amazed. This guy is just working like crazy. Mm-hmm. If you look at his filmography, he's got like 60 movies. Mm-hmm. He's a machine. He won't stop. He won't stop. I guess he's done with the Taken franchise. I haven't seen any of those. Mm-hmm. But
you haven't seen the Taken?
I haven't seen any Taken. My favorite Liam...
Oh, how could you call yourself a Liam Neeson fan?
I know. My favorite Liam Neeson movie is The Grey, where he fights a pack of wolves.
Yeah.
Armed with just his wits and a couple of nips that he's like that he fashions into weaponry.
Really?
And a boomstick. It is amazing. Go Liam Neeson. Anyway, so new year, new Neeson, everybody. Get out there. Support my boy.
All right, so it's a new year and you want to take things up a notch.
Yeah, way up a notch.
So it's the time when everyone reevaluates themselves and adds a few things to their repertoire to make your
their for a few minutes. Everyone goes out and joins the gym, then doesn't go.
But how about your sex life? How about it, everyone?
How about it, yeah.
Sex advice, the secret to better sex in the new year.
So this is advice on how to improve... The giving and receiving of bouquet in 2018.
Yeah, you might be looking forward to the new year as a time for more exciting sex with your partner.
Really? Is that what people think? Man, I can't wait till 2020.
Like many, woo! You might think a fun New Year's Eve would create the atmosphere for some good, maybe even great, sex.
Excuse me? The expectations are so low. Some good, possibly even great.
And it's going to be a great beginning to the year ahead, but like many, you're disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Flaccid.
And you'll wonder why.
When Mr. Baker's dough doesn't rise. You're left there. Just with a hot oven.
I'm often asked the question by men and women who feel puzzled about why things didn't go so well.
Mm-hmm.
Just when the situation seems ideal.
Well, whiskey dick. Happens to everybody.
Yeah. It's ironic, they think, because they absorb the flood of advice and prescriptions out there for having super sex.
Prescriptions. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, the magazines covers everything from 10 new techniques to drive him or her wild.
Mm-hmm.
Online e-zines like Your Tango or Libido for Life have pretty sound advice, supposedly.
Really? Okay.
I know, right?
The only time I seek advice is when we're doing segments.
And some of the advice is pretty sound, like that from respected sociologist and sexual relations, Pepper Schwartz.
Pepper Schwartz! She's awesome.
You know her, right?
I don't know her personally, but I have worked with her before and with her material. She's pretty cool.
Or the advice on sexual matters for useful for people for all sexualities from Dan Savage.
Okay. Who I don't like.
Okay.
I don't like Dan Savage.
Okay, so get all of that. Let's look at what fuels... the possibility for an integrated relationship to begin with.
Okay.
You have to have a thriving spiritual connection between two partners.
That's a lot.
I know, right?
Thriving?
connecting over values and outlook about life.
My thing is, like, if you just don't want to murder a motherfucker, you can, like...
How are you going to find someone with an ideal?
No, it's like, if you can stand each other for X amount of time, you got a chance.
Yeah.
You got a chance.
Yeah, so you can tolerate being in a room with them.
Yeah, if you don't want to punch the other person in the throat, it might work. You know?
Let's see. Your spiritual core is reflected to the extent of which all of the above are in sync. Shared expression between yourself and your partner.
My spiritual core. All right, lady.
Okay. So
what about the sex?
Okay, there's whole person sex, first of all.
This whole person?
Yeah.
I've only been using a quarter of my body.
That's
what
you're using your spiritual core.
Mm-hmm.
Fuels the three.
Now, do you guys know where that is? Because
you have to. Yeah, that includes your life, family goals.
Huh? No, I'm not bringing my family goals into this.
And how your values and ideas may change and evolve over time, over the years.
Okay.
As separate individuals and as a couple. And so that is...
Whole body sex.
Whole person sex.
Okay.
So you see yourself as a whole person.
Okay.
Okay. Then there's radical transparency.
Okay. Sex.
That means communicating truthfully and completely to your partner. And yes, it means exposing your vulnerabilities and fears as well as desires and points of view about everything.
You only want one out of three of those when you're having sex. Like, that seems like a lot of things.
Yeah. It can be hard, especially given the hiding out, concealment, secret manipulation, and outright lies that couples often engage in with each other.
Okay, so have that stuff going on, you're not in a good relationship. Yeah.
Most people don't really want to hide the truth or be deceptive, but family issues and our larger culture condition us to relate to each other in a way in loving relationships, what I call our adolescent model of love.
I think I am too, having seen no love growing up, maybe I'm too honest. I don't, why should I have to conceal something from my partner?
Yeah.
What do I care?
Yeah.
They're going to find out anyway. Mm. They're around all the time, right? Eventually it's going to come out. You know,
there's a thing here. It said coming clean refreshes all of the above, and the real you emerges. Or as a 42-year-old man recently blurted out in frustration about himself to his wife, "No more lies."
When in the act?
Yeah, I guess so.
No more lies. She's at middle way through an HJ.
Yeah,
he blurts that out. No more lies.
No more lies.
Yeah.
Then there's sharing the stage. Is behaving.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What? Sharing the stage?
So it's behaving with equality and mutuality in the large and small matters of daily life.
Okay.
It means being neither dominating nor submissive in your decisions around areas of conflict.
I gotta pick one. Like, really? What am I gonna do?
Yeah. For another, maybe containing your tendency to submit or comply with what your partner wants, subordinating your own voice in the process.
Okay. Yeah, speak up for yourself for sure.
Right. So share the stage. You speak up. Don't always be
you speak
the
up
dom.
Together. Right? You speak up together on equal ground.
Okay.
Neither submissive nor dominant. How's that going to work?
I don't know.
This is too wishy-washy people. Like, I don't know. Let's just stay on the fence.
Yeah.
Screw it.
Let's see. Then they say good vibrations.
All right, now we're talking. Now we got something here.
A heightened sexual physical relationship depends on strengthening the other two good parts. And that's where so many couples falter. They assume they can enhance and energize the romantic sexual connection while neglecting the other two.
Mm-hmm. Some people do it, though.
Yeah.
I guarantee you there are tons of couples out there who are like, well, we have great sex.
Yeah.
And that smooths over a lot of the other
stuff. They have this animal connection.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable. And it makes it work. Bearable.
And who was it? Was it Jerry Hall? Was she Mick Jagger's partner? She said that the key to their relationship was that they had sex every day.
Yeah.
That was it.
And it worked for them. Right. They had sex every day and there was money.
Yeah, and there was money.
So there's no problem. What are they going to fight about? What are they going to discuss?
When? Because they got to have sex at some point during the day.
Yeah.
So that argument has to get cut short because they got to get in the bedroom.
Yeah. So those are the things that you need to do. It's pretty boring.
That's interesting. And hard to understand. I have, for those of you who made New Year's resolutions, good on you. I generally don't do them, but I found this really cool article, New Year's Resolutions Advice You Won't Read Anywhere Else.
Okay.
So basically, the gist of it is that people are always making unreasonable demands on themselves when it comes to making New Year's resolutions. She said there's a lot of magical thinking out there, and that people like to do the law of attraction where they... You want something, you believe it, you write it down, then you get what you want. I've seen that work for nobody.
Yeah, right, right.
Like, the people I know who have tried to use the laws of attraction, that just, they repelled. I don't know. So this is research-driven stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They said there are less known and poorly understood factors that can help you make or break the coming year if you want to set and achieve goals that will change your life.
Okay.
So here are the tips. First, it says get a little bit happy.
Okay.
So... It's rock solid science that when you're in a positive frame of mind, you succeed.
Mm-hmm.
We do not get happy because we're successful. We become successful because we're happy. That's a hard one. But I guess when I think about times in my life when I was doing the research, when I have been the most, what I consider to be successful, I was happy first.
Yes.
The happiness didn't come after the success. But I had to think about that mm-hmm. because it seems counterintuitive, right?
It does. You think because you're putting the... all your happiness depends on external events.
Yeah.
You have to be happy. You have to generate happiness yourself, yeah, and then no matter what your external is.
Then you do stuff, and you're like, ah, great. On top of it, now I'm successful. Number two, it says, learn how to put yourself in the most positive frame of mind at all times. Now, I am not good at this.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that, you know, if you cannot just kind of generate it, find things that you can do that will make you happy. It'll be exercise, journaling, which I don't do.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped journaling because when I used to journal as a teen, and you go back and look at those books, you're like, man, this is dark.
Yeah.
I'm going to write this stuff down. It gets life that way. Using your signature strengths, practicing forgiveness, which I don't do, but you can, and expressing gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, or if these things don't work for you, come up with things that make you happy,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, do things that you want to do, and you'll find success in them, basically.
Well, when you find things, they say... a good way to start in the morning, write down, you have a little journal and you write down three things you're grateful for in the morning
mm-hmm.
and then three at night and just keep doing that every day. And it could be little things like, oh, you know, I'm thankful for drywall making a nice room here.
I mean, one of the things
instead
that,
of a mud hut
that cheers me up, and it's really, really small because I'm not like one of these, you know, gratitudes and blessing people, but I always love it when I say the transit gods smile upon me.
Yeah.
Like when I get the bus and then the train and everything like works out well, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That sets a good day for me. However, MTA, when it doesn't work that way, it destroys my day.
Yes.
So,
yes.
It says don't set too many self-regulation or like, don't try to base too many things on willpower at once. They're saying there's a finite amount of willpower, and apparently, according to this research, it gets depleted daily. So if you try to set too many things, like, I'm not going to do this, so I'm not going to drink, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to eat a vegetable at every meal, you're never going to make it through all those things.
Right, right.
Pick one thing, and then allow yourself time to, like,
go
work on
wild on everything else.
But that's what people do.
Yeah.
I think people put, at the beginning of the year, people put so many things on their plate, so many restrictions, and then they're surprised that they can't follow through with all of them.
Right. So there's a thing about the shadow self, and I'm reading a little bit about it, and I'm trying to understand. It's the idea that when you fail at these things, when you try have all these good intentions and you run out of willpower like this, you want to go to the gym and eat the vegetables.
Because you're human, you can't do it all.
Right, but your shadow side likes the pleasure of the other thing, of the ice cream, of you know, going and having sex with somebody or whatever.
Just I am the shadow side.
Yeah, you know, that pleasure side and all these other things, you have to, like, realize.
They need something, too.
Yeah, that they're there, and you can't keep stamping on them.
Well, that's what this guy's saying. Like, don't put too many regulations on yourself.
Yeah.
The next thing is have higher boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're around people that are negative, cut them off, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a good thing on here. It's like, you can't go into a black hole, but, you know, you have caller ID.
Mm-hmm.
Use it. You can, you know, limit the amount of time you spend getting negative emails from people, things like that. You can vary your lifestyle subtly to, like, cut people out that you don't want to have a lot of contact with. It says, fill your environment with positive primes. And this is primes in the sense of a cue for something that sets you up for success. So it's like something that's in your daily routine, when you see it, that, for example, like the subway, you should think something positive.
Okay. All right.
So it's like a little trick mm-hmm. for yourself. There's no debate that every moment of the day is filled with aromas, words, people, colors, music, and other primes that make you happy, sad, tired, or energy, focused, whatever. So, like, think about the things that trigger positive and negative for you. It says the problem is most of us are asleep at the wheel when to our primes. So things that make you happy, you don't probably don't even think about them.
Yeah.
You're just like, eh, whatever. So it's like,
this pleases me, and yeah, I'm moving on.
I'm moving on. Here's one tip that this woman found that she thought was unusual. Change your computer password to reflect your goals.
Yes, you have to have a positive
password. I never thought about that before.
Yes, because you're repeating that over and over
again. Mine are all bad. They're all negative.
Well, so you're...
Even the hints are bad.
Yeah. So change all... I did. I changed my passwords to everything... Something
that's positive.
Positive.
I'm going to do that.
For me. Like, you know, that make me happy, that make me laugh, that is positive.
Well, let me ask you, then is it easier to remember your passwords?
Yes.
Okay, because I have a problem with that. I have so many passwords, I'm sure a lot of people do, but I can't remember them all, and they're all negative.
Yeah. Well, I think the idea now with passwords that I heard on the news, that it should be like three words that don't...
Relate to each other.
They're not, they're like, don't do the numbers and symbols anymore because they're catching on how to hack those.
Mm-hmm.
So three random words that you can associate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use it as a mnemonic device for yourself.
Yeah. I have one password that's like that. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to do that. I like that one. It says, do hard things. It says that no pain, no gain. Actually, that's how it works. Mm-hmm. So you may not enjoy doing something in that moment, but the things that you had such a hard time doing are the things that you feel the best about mm-hmm. afterwards, which makes sense. My one goal for this year, it's not really a New Year's resolution, because it may take more than a year. I would like to go ice climbing.
Okay.
So I'm going to take a class next month on basic mountaineering skills.
All right.
And orienteering. We'll see how it goes. I hope I come back.
All right.
It says, while you are doing hard things, take risks. And this is for women only. Get some goals that are yours and yours alone. They found that for the first time in history, men are less happy. Sorry. Women are more unhappy than men.
Really?
For the first time ever. And especially in midlife. So if you're in your 40s and 50s, that's when you become, as a woman, very unhappy. They says because you only have 41 minutes a day to pursue your own goals. You're obsessed with taking care of children, husband, friends, work colleagues. So you don't even have to be in a relationship mm-hmm. to have very, very limited time to yourself.
Wow.
It's because women are constantly, you know, I guess, herding cats mm-hmm. and not working on their own inner cat. I don't know. That didn't really work out the way I wanted to.
Work on your inner cat.
Work on your inner cat, ladies.
Ladies, please.
Use if-then scenarios to conserve emotional energy and triple your chances. So, for example, when I encounter a stop sign, this goes back to the primes, mm-hmm. I will think of three things in my life that I like. That's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is have goals if you don't already.
Yeah, I got it.
So the ones I really like, I'm going to change my passwords, and then I'm going to try to take more risks. I'm not much of a risk taker.
No?
I'm the kind of person, I plan everything. Like, if it looks like I'm doing something that's a risk, I planned it like 6 months ago.
Okay.
Guarantee you. Guarantee.
Writing down the things you're grateful for, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, what a chore. But it's only three things in the morning and three at night.
That's not that so bad. Hard. You could just jot it on, like, a post-it note or something.
Yeah.
We have
the idea that you write it down is going to reinforce it. That's the thing. You don't just think about it.
And it becomes a routine.
Yeah, and you can speak it out loud and it becomes more powerful.
We have a friend on Facebook who also does comedy, and she's been posting hers on Facebook one a day. It's kind of interesting. I like it.
Oh, okay.
It's like things that I'm, you know, grateful for. And sometimes they're very small, but it's still things that, I guess, make her happy. And even though they're not related to me at all, it kind of makes me happy to see it as well. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Well, she's spreading happiness.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you think about, like, all the things, like, the shootings that go on, everyone's like, there's so many. We're all connected, and we all kind of infect each other, or we can all, like, influence each other for the better. And so if, you know, people started shooting each other, these mass shootings, and it was so rare, and then we all got used to it, and everyone's just like doing
it. This is happening all the time.
It's just normalized.
So this is the other side of it. I have to say, my Facebook, as I've been noticing, I don't use it that often, but I was like, man, I got to put some positive shit on here and bring people down.
Yeah, you don't have to put it like, be like this, hashtag blessed person,
and that kind of stuff.
But something that is a little more like...
Up. temper it.
Yes.
You know, if you have something that's a negative, maybe try to put something on there that's somewhat positive. Put up a Prince video.
Yeah.
That always makes everyone happy.
Yeah, something, you know, or a great dance number. Or something that's just something like amazing.
Something that's up there.
Watch somebody doing something great.
Or there was one person in my Twitter timeline who started following a puppy. Mm-hmm. There's a puppy on Twitter, and she's like, this has increased my mental health.
Yeah.
And I followed the puppy, and I was like, this puppy actually is making me happy. I'm not that kind of person. I'm cold as ice, you people know. Mm-hmm. This puppy is cute as hell.
Yeah.
And if you need, like, just a pick-me-up, the puppy is there.
Yes.
On Twitter. Yes. Usually in a costume.
I think, you know, one thing with gratitude, when I got my new job, I decided I'm going to take 1% of my paycheck,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to put it all in singles and keep it tucked.
You going to the club? No. Girl, watch out, gentlemen. Katie going to be out there making it rain.
And I rolled it up, and I stuck it in my purse, and I said, the first person who asks for money for me,
I'm going to give it to them?
I'm going to give it to them no matter what. Like, I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to say they're unworthy or they're a scammer. Or,
man, I can be getting dollar bills this whole time. I'm like, hey, Katie, what's up? Let me get a dollar.
So it was a hot, humid day, and I'm walking through town. I didn't want to be outside, but I'm like, I'm going to keep walking until I find, like, I'm doing my business and run my errands, and somebody's got to hit me up for something. And there was a shifty guy who really just looked dirty. His shirt was dirty, standing against the wall of a building with a cup, and he just finished a cigarette and put it out, and he just looked a mess. He looked like a person you'd cross the street.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And he's like,
oh, he was up to something.
Yeah, it's just like, can you spare some change? And I was like, sure. And I pulled out this wad of cash and stuck it in his cup. And I was just like,
what did he do?
He looked at me. And then,
was he nervous? He's like, I don't go that way. Do that stuff anymore.
You know, and I walked into the coffee shop to get a coffee, and I came out, and he's gone. And so I continued my errands,
mm-hmm.
came out of the next door, and he was standing out there with another man who looked even worse than him.
What?
And he had given him a piece of pizza and was like,
here, that's nice.
Here, you go. He goes, you finish that. You eat that up.
He bought his buddy some food. That's nice.
Isn't that?
My thing has
been. Isn't that a nice story?
It is a nice story. My thing has been, I give, because I don't have a lot of money, but mm-hmm. I don't, every month I set aside at least $50 to give to a charity. And it's mm-hmm. always the first
one that hits.
The
right,
first
right.
one that asks me. Because right. the only people that have access to me are mostly charities that I, you know, would support anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's the way that I do. I like that idea, though. And it's awesome that that guy, I mean, yeah, what do you think he's going to do? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to share it with his buddy.
Yeah.
Or someone who's worse off than him who needs it, who's not getting dollars.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So, and I told that story to one of my friends. She's like, oh man, that sounds like one of those fake stories, but it's actually real.
Oh, yeah. She, I mean, you know, not everybody's a dick.
Yeah.
Just, you know, people who run for office.
Yeah.
And on that note, I'd like to say welcome to 2018.
Yes.
Good luck.
Good luck. And
I hope it's better than 2017.
And 16.
Yeah.
And 15.
And 14.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.